climate, weather, and water research could take a hit under a Trump administration proposal. It's Wednesday, April 16th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, a federal judge has put a hold on immigration officials' move to deport an international student at UW-Madison. And with just over 1 week to go before the NFL draft in Green Bay, some Airbnb owners still have rentals available. Stay with us.
Weekday mornings are a juggle, sometimes even a struggle. Morning Edition from NPR News eases you into your day and keeps you company through the chaos of a busy morning. Hear interviews that give you context on the day's biggest stories, along with reporting and updates on the latest breaking news. Stay on top of the world with Morning Edition every weekday.
Weekday mornings from 5 to 9 on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Climate, weather, and water research in Wisconsin and the Great Lakes region could take a hit under a proposal from the Trump administration. As Danielle Kading reports, the budget for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration would see deep cuts in 2026.
NOAA is facing the loss of more than 25% of its budget, or nearly $1.7 billion. Cuts to labs, programs, and cooperative institutes would virtually eliminate the agency's research arm. Michael Morgan was an agency leader at NOAA until earlier this year. He's also a professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Morgan says the proposal is misguided.
The loss of research that's being done at these cooperative institutes and labs, I think, is really going to be harmful to our nation's ability to protect ourselves and become more resilient to our changing weather and environmental extremes.
The loss of funding would affect Wisconsin Sea Grant and real-time data collection on the Great Lakes. It would also affect the Lake Superior Research Reserve. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A federal judge has put a hold on immigration officials' move to deport an international student at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. In an order issued yesterday, Federal District Judge William Conley issued a temporary restraining order. It blocks federal immigration authorities from terminating Madison student Kersh Isardasani's F-1 student visa. Isardasani is a 21-year-old student from India who is just weeks away from earning a bachelor's degree in computer engineering from Madison. Federal authorities demand that he leave the country by May 2nd, 8 days before his graduation. According to a court document, the dispute appears to be tied to an incident last year when he was arrested for misdemeanor disorderly conduct after a verbal argument. Although he was arrested, prosecutors declined to pursue charges in that case. In his order, Conley says federal authorities offered nothing to suggest Isardasani deserves to be deported before earning his degree. This month, the federal government revoked student visas for hundreds of international students across the country, including more than 30 in Wisconsin. About 2 weeks ago, federal immigration agents detained two undocumented immigrants at the Milwaukee County Courthouse. As Nick Rommel reports, the county board discussed possible responses yesterday.
The board's Judiciary Committee passed a resolution that said courthouse arrests by ICE undermine the justice system. Its chair, Supervisor Justin Belinsky, argued for it with a historical comparison.
I mean, it wasn't that long ago in this country where certain classes of people, namely black people in the South, were not allowed to testify against a white person in court.
He said today's arrests could have a similar effect, making immigrants scared of showing up to court. Scott Brown is the county's chief legal counsel. He said he's working out what exactly the county can do about future arrests.
It's certainly a challenging legal issue, but I have not given up, and I am exhausting every avenue possible.
Immigration arrests in courthouses were mostly paused by the Biden administration. In January, Trump's immigration officials okayed them once again. Nick Rommel, Wisconsin Public Radio.
As Green Bay gets ready to host the NFL draft next week, multiple Airbnbs are still available within walking distance of Lambeau Field. Joe Schultz has more on why some rental owners are struggling to book their properties.
Wisconsin native Matt Baziner owns an Airbnb about a 10-minute walk from the stadium. He initially had it booked for $5,000 a night, but that booking fell through and he eventually had to drop his price to around $800.
My own gut instinct would have been to drop it sooner. I mean, it's obviously dropping drastically now. It's still not booked.
Corey Benke also owns a rental near Lambeau. He adjusted his strategy too, but in a different way.
As soon as we removed the 3-night minimum and moved it to a 2-night like we do for game day, we immediately booked the next day.
Tourism leaders expect some visitors will make the draft a day trip because Green Bay is within walking distance of many Wisconsin cities. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Republican lawmakers from the Green Bay area say they're seeking more than $1 million in the next state budget to reimburse public safety costs during the NFL draft. Republican State Representatives David Steffen of Howard and Ben Franklin of De Pere say with much of the economic activity happening outside of the city, it's reasonable for state taxpayers to help offset security costs. Green Bay Police Chief Chris Davis says he and neighboring agencies have been drafting a security plan for about a year. If the funding is included in the budget, his department would get $475,000.
Which is a little less than half of what that will cost the Green Bay Police Department to staff this event properly. So we are definitely grateful to be having this conversation right now.
About 250,000 people are expected to descend on Green Bay for the 2025 NFL Draft. Coming up, WPR's Brady Carlson will speak with reporter Tom Kircher of Wisconsin Watch about a new profile of former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman, which is out today. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
This month, former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman agreed to surrender his law license for 3 years. This after an investigation found that he violated professional ethics rules. The charges against him stem from his work for the Republican legislature while investigating the 2020 election. Tom Kircher of Wisconsin Watch profiled Gableman in a new piece out today. The story traces Gableman's rise in conservative legal circles, and it shows how Gableman's work defending President Donald Trump's false claims about the 2020 election led to the consequences that Gableman now faces.
Tom, let's start with this news that Gableman has agreed to give up his law license. How did the investigation against him come about, and what did he agree to?
So Justice Gableman, former Justice Gableman, was hired by the State Assembly and the Speaker, Robin Voss, to investigate the 2020 election in Wisconsin. And he spent about 2 years on that, and his investigation was widely discredited. What led to the current disciplinary case, though, was more specific to his own conduct in the investigation, destroying records along the way, and during appearances in court, stating falsehoods and making insults to the judge and other attorneys in the case. So what he has agreed to is to give up his law license for 3 years as a punishment.
Gableman was elected to the Wisconsin Supreme Court in 2008. That race was, at that time, one of the most expensive and most contentious Wisconsin had seen for a Supreme Court seat. How has that race turned out to be a sign of things to come?
It really was. You know, in 2008 and the years leading up to it, judicial elections tended to be comparatively sleepy and more judicial in demeanor, if you will. But with the 2008 election, things started to change. There was much more money poured into that campaign by outside groups, and the attack ads got much sharper.
Now, he could have run for re-election in 2018, but you point to a previously unreported incident at the 2016 Republican National Convention involving Gableman and members of Wisconsin's congressional delegation. What happened?
So Justice Gableman, while still on the Supreme Court, attended the Republican National Convention in 2016, and one evening caused some disturbances. He attended receptions of Wisconsin Republicans in the convention hall. According to people we talked to, appeared to be intoxicated and had to be escorted out by fellow Republicans out of two receptions and eventually taken back to his hotel. He lost support among Republicans, lost some respect among Republicans because of what happened in Cleveland, and a short time later decided not to run for a second term on the Supreme Court. Other issues were involved as well, but that Cleveland incident seemed to be a real turning point in Gableman's career.
And what did he imagine his post-court career would look like?
So, you know, many Supreme Court justices, after serving on the court, are in a position, if they're not fully retired, to take some significant jobs, maybe with a law firm or a public policy organization. In contrast, Gableman really kind of disappeared from public life. He decides not to seek re-election in 2018. He really kind of stayed below the radar in a public way until 2021, when he was hired by the state assembly to investigate the 2020 election in Wisconsin.
Do we have any idea what Gableman hopes to do now? And what are his next steps for a settlement with the Office of Lawyer Regulation?
So he has agreed to the proposed settlement, which would require him to give up his law license for 3 years. That still needs approval from what's known as a referee in the case, and then ultimately by the Supreme Court itself. Some irony there in that he, you know, had served on the court for 10 years. One indication, though, that he doesn't appear to have steady employment is that he's in court filings in this disciplinary case indicated that he was trying to raise money to pay for his defense.
That's Tom Kircher of Wisconsin Watch. His new piece about former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman is out today. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks, Brady.
That was Tom Kircher of Wisconsin Watch speaking with WPR's Brady Carlson. And finally, quick check of weather before letting you go for the day. It'll be a little cold to start today, but eventually we will see some sunshine with highs in the 50s across the state. Cloudy and windy overnight, but no rain or snow expected, with lows down in the 30s. And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks for being with us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Bridget Bowden and John Davis. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.